Good morning.
Good morning.
It's certainly good to have everyone out today. We're going to begin in Romans chapter 5, verse 11. The title of the lesson is, Where Do I Stand with God? It doesn't have much to do about guilt on y'all today. I'm starting a series of lessons based on a question asked me, talking about praising God, and praising God is the realization of God's character and His operations, and your reaction to that realization. Where do we stand with God? You know, I mean, how does God look at people is the question really this morning. In Romans chapter 5, verse 11 through 14, we cover Adam all the way up to the first century. In four verses, explain the whole big rim, the problem, the solution. In Romans chapter 5, verse 11, and not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've now received the reconciliation. The reconciliation. Talking about the church in Rome. Talking about the church have received the reconciliation. The implication is somewhere back along the line there was the separation that affected all mankind, and Jesus reversed it. But you know, this is the first part of verse 11. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We glory in God. The people that have the reconciliation have some reason to glory in God. To rejoice. To joy in God. Because they've been reconciled. Rather than alienated. Alienation works both ways. I don't want nothing to do with God, and God says, I won't do nothing with you. That's the separation. And we've received the reconciliation. Well, how big was the problem? Verse 12 through 14. Verse 12, therefore, just as through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. Adam had a big effect on the rest of mankind as time moves on. I mean, he brought sin into the world. Not I have done wrong. He brought a power called sin and turned it loose where it dominates people's lives. And in came sin, and then death through sin. Death now is out there. Sin and death are out there ruling and ravaging people's lives. He did it. And you notice the last part of verse 12? And so death spread to all men because all sinned. When a person comes of age and sins, God separates. Death means separation. We've separated from our loved ones, our body, and separated from our soul and our spirit at death. Separation from God. Death, a world without eternal life, without God in it, now dominates. And death spread to all men because all men sinned. Verse 13. For unto the law, sin was in the world. You have Adam as a known law. There was no law for Adam's descendants. Now, God was fed up with him and what? Brought the flood. Wickedness is wickedness and God separates from you. But verse 13, for unto the law of Moses, sin was in the world still. But sin's not imputed when there is no law. Adam and Moses are point number one, were under law. If you look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, Adam was told directly. He was warned by God, you can enjoy all of this paradise, but you leave one tree alone. Law. We're laying it down. If there's no, you know, if there's no speed limit out here, you can go 100 miles an hour. Now, people may shake their fist at you and cuss you and shoot at you and things like that because you're dangerous. But there's no law. But once we plant a speed zone out there, what? You now know better, we know better, and you better not be going past 50. Law has consequences. It's imputed every time. We don't allow no error. That's what law is. Well, Adam's under law, Genesis 2, 16, 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely. But from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die. Not physically. He drove him out of the garden. Drove him out. And put up beings to stop them from coming back in, because they could come back in and eat of the tree of life and live forever. They lost the right to eternal life. They lost the right to the presence of God. The day they eat is the day you die, and that's what happened. Well, come over to Deuteronomy, the fifth book in the Bible. Deuteronomy, chapter 27, verse 26. Between Adam and Moses, there was no law. The descendants of Adam were under no law. We call it the patriarchal age. That's what we call it. Because the fathers ruled, there was no law of God until Moses brought Israel out of Egypt. They're under law. We're warning them people, there's consequences to violate my commands. I'm going to bless you. Look at Deuteronomy 27:26. Cursed, and this is as Moses is, they're about to go into the land of promise. And he's reminding them. And we're repeating this before they go. He's not going. But this is what you expected. 27:26. Cursed is he who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. And all the people shall say amen. Do I hear an amen out there, Moses says. Y'all agreeing to this today? This is the law. Moses was called the great lawgiver. They're under law. They're agreeing to the covenant here. 28 verse 15, we'll bless you. Or 28:12, the Lord will open for you his good storehouse, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand, and you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Economic times will go well. I'll bless you if you keep my commandments. I mean, they're a nation living in a physical land with boundaries. I'm going to bless you. You'll loan to them, but you're not going to be borrowing from them because you're going to have an excess. Because I'm going to bless you. Verse 15, but it shall come about if you will not obey the Lord your God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I charge you today, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Hard and fast law. You don't do it, and I'm going to curse you, and I'm going to make sure they overtake you. A sampling of the curses, verse 20 and following. The Lord will send upon you curses, confusion and rebuke, and all you undertake to do, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds, because you have forsaken me. Verse 21. The Lord will make the pestilence cling to you until he has consumed you from the land where you're entering to possess it. 22. The Lord will smite you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with fiery heat, with the sword, with blight and mildew, and they shall pursue you until you perish. 23. And the heaven which is over your head shall be bronze, and the earth which is under you iron. And verse 24. The Lord will make the rain of your land powder and dust. From heaven it shall come down on you until you are destroyed. And he continues. Boy, I think you're in this deal. You made the agreement. You said amen. I think it's going to pay to obey all my commandments. Well, it keeps on going. It gets worse. But I want one more, 29. And you shall grope at noon as the blind man gropes in darkness. And you shall not prosper in your ways, but you shall only be oppressed and robbed continually with none to save you. Under law. I mean, there's degrees of sin. There's terrible penalties if you violate it. So what we have is Adam had a known law. And between Adam and Moses, the descendants of Adam have no law. They're on their own. They're out. They don't have eternal life. They don't have God. They're on their own. And out of Egypt, we bring a people, the Israelites, and give them a law. And cursed if you don't keep it. So we got two groups of people moving through time. One little nation with God, the rest of the people on their own. We'll go back to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12 again, we'll just look at it a little deeper here. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Verse 13, for unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Those people out there, Adam's descendants, they're not under any law, so we're not coming down and hammering them every sin, act, simple act they have. Israel, we're coming down on them. Every violation, Hebrews 2, has a just recompense. And so we have these two groups parallel. All of them are under sin and death. Verse 14. Nevertheless, we're talking about these people between Adam and Moses and having a law. Oh, it sure looks like they're getting away with something. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam unto Moses. They didn't have no law. But sure as the world as they sinned, God kicked them out. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 24, 26, 28. So you want to worship and have another God. Romans 1, 24. Therefore, God gave them over. Verse 26. So you want to be a homosexual. Verse 26. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function of that which is unnatural in the men. 28. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. And so these people out there between Adam and Moses, what? They don't want nothing to do with God, so what? He gives them over. They're left to their own devices. How far they want to go? They're living in a world without eternal life, without God. And you've got them, we call them Gentiles, heathen. They're the same thing. Gentile. Just in ignorance out here. Left to their own devices. And then we've got the Jews who have a law of God. Two groups of people. Look at Romans 1, verse 18, talking about the Gentiles, the people of Adam's descendants. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. The rule is, God is holy. One act of unrighteousness costs you everything. Every act of unrighteousness, ungodliness, you're targeted by the wrath of God. Now, if you're under a law, you're in worse trouble. Because we wrote it down, you know it's right, and you're guilty. But the Gentile world out here, this is the rule. We punish every act of ungodliness. So the first one, what? We give you over. Verse 19. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. There's no excuse out there in this world of this Adam's descendants. We've given them enough proof that they ought to be worshipers of God. And they've chosen to go their way. And we sent a packing. Verse 20. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. From the beginning, we've used creation to beat on people, to tell them that you need to look to God. That all of nature is making one point. That you know there's a God out there. And you choose not to follow it. Adam had a law. He knew. He let his wife talk him into going against the law. And he brought sin in the world. Wasn't there for it. And then God confronted him and God separated from him. And now death is in the world. And so you have a group of people living in sin and death because all men sin. What hope do they have? Well, they know. The Indians in America worship what? They worship the sun. I mean, it beat down on them in the summer. They worship, you know, the snow god and all that. They needed relief. They believe there's a bigger power out there. But you couldn't get to the one power. So you just kept on doing what you want to do. And so we have the Gentiles and the Jews go in parallel. And then the third point this morning, all of a sudden John the Baptist shows up in Matthew 3. And he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We're now going to have a third group in existence. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus in chapter 4 verse 17 comes. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We're introducing a third group based on the death of Jesus. The Gentiles, they just go in their way without God. They don't care about God. God don't care about them. Then we've got the people under the law of Moses. They're supposed to be the people of God, but what? They killed the Son of God. Sin and death rules out there, even in religious people. You know, you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, point 4. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 32. We're in the New Testament era. And notice how Paul breaks down the earth. Give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. There's three groups of people. You got the Jews. Oh, they deserve first shot at salvation because they went hundreds of years to get to Christ. That's the only reason we brought them into existence. The main reason. We also want to show that even people with the best opportunity to do the will of God are going to fail miserably on their own. We're beating that point to death through that law. And now we've got the church of God. The people of God is in existence here. And he's saying, don't give no offense to anybody. You're Christians. You're people of God. I mean, you've been reconciled. What Adam caused to happen, you've overcome that. Go back to 1 Corinthians 9, verse 20 and 21. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews to those who are under the law. As under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. There are people in the first century that are writing the book of Corinthians who are still under the law. They haven't found a way out. He's not under the law. He used to be under the law. But he's part of the church that belongs to God. Verse 21. To those who are without law. Well, there's a group of people out there without law. You know, they're given over. They're just out there. There's no God in that world. There's no answer in prayers unless special occasion or some other reason. Cornelius, he prayed, and God went to extra length to get somebody there to teach him. He had a good heart. He was there wanting to know what the whole mess of God was. Because he was going to do it. He wanted out of the Gentile world. He wanted God in his life. So he ended up being baptized. Well, verse 21, to those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those who are without law. There's three groups of people in the world today. There's people without law. They're not getting away with anything. Sin and death still rules in their lives. I mean, why should God make exceptions to those people? He threw Adam out. His own creation, one sin, and the man lost the right to eternal life. And out he goes, and he's going to find life a lot tougher. The ground's going to be cursed, and he's by the sweat of his brow. Yeah, he ain't used to that sweat of the brow thing. Three groups of people. The people under the law. The people under the law of Moses, the Jews. You can be under the law today if you want to. Most denominations are law people. Just a statement of fact. I'll prove that later. You can be without law. Where God doesn't influence what you do. You're free to do whatever you want. But you have no hope. But the grave. To get relief. Physically. From the emotional pain. But then you don't know anything about the Bible, so what? The emotional pain part doesn't end there. the greater regrets continue to exist. And new ones come up in eternity. And then you got the people that are under the law of Christ. Three groups of people, and that's you and me. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. You know, where do we stand with God is my point. With us. There's lines drawn in God's mind. Where do we stand? Paul's never been to Rome. Notice what he says in Romans 1, verse 5 and 6. Through whom we've now received the grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for His name's sake. He says, my role is to go out there in the Gentiles and give them an opportunity to obey. We're giving them a chance to come out of that group and come into the church that belongs to God. That's what my apostleship's about. The people had no hope are being offered eternal life. You can come back to God. Verse 6, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. The church members are the called. They came out of the Gentile world to follow Christ. They're not people no longer recognized. They're recognized. They're the called of Jesus Christ. They belong to Jesus Christ. And God liked Jesus enough to raise him from the dead after the people under the law killed him. They belong to Jesus. Verse 6, 7. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, the church, no matter whether it's in Rome or Ephesus or Berry, is the beloved of God. Most people don't know better. I didn't know better. 29 years. Not as a heathen. I was a good person, but as a heathen. But it was ignorant. Because I was one of Adam's descendants roaming about out here having no idea what in the world is going on with God and not recognizing God. And going nowhere. Then we had the Jews. And they're in the law today too. You can choose to be under the law. Galatians 5, 2 through 4. They're encouraging the Christian to go back to be under the law. And cursed if you don't keep it perfectly. Galatians 3, 10. So that's not a good move. When you're the beloved of God. You and I are the beloved of God. It's not the people that say, I don't recognize you. I never recognized you. That's not us. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, in Christ Jesus, you're holy. All the past, all the guilt, all the stains, all the defilement, been taken care of. Saul of Tarsus, under the law. I mean, that guy was angry. He couldn't stand that there was a third group called the Way. The Way to God. He couldn't stand it. He breathed threats and murders. I mean, he's a godly man. Ignorant. Oh, and the Lord blinded him. Well, the Lord talked to him. You want to know who art thou, Lord? I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. You're persecuting my people who are one with me. They're the beloved of God. And I want to know why you're persecuting them. Well, if you're under sin and death, what? Your capabilities of doing wrong, what? And the ignorance blinds, you know, and all the time you think you're doing good. And you're just marching on. And the Lord extended him an opportunity to rethink his position. Do you want to stay under the law with all this pain and agony you're suffering? All this hatred? Or do you want to be saved? And God's going to send, Jesus is going to send Ananias, a servant. And Ananias balks, because everybody's heard about this guy. You know, God is capable of giving people the chance and put them in positions where they can really think about it honestly. What are my alternatives? Do I stay with the law?
and lost?
Am I a Gentile? Do I just stay out here in ignorance? Ananias finally goes. Jesus knew better. Jesus said, you'll find him praying. We'll be repentant. We'll be calling on God's name, and we'll be wondering how in the world I get in this mess I'm in. And Ananias said, why do you delay? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Now you and I know what baptism means. That's the moment you deal with God about your past. It's the moment where you've decided that you're changing and that you're leaving the world around you without God. And you're entering into Christ Jesus. You're being baptized to wash away your sins, which means you're saints. They're holy. Outside you, there's a people that God wants nothing to do with. Then there's the people under the law, and it's irrelevant today. They don't bother keeping feast days. I mean, they don't keep, in curse is a good word, You're not even trying to be real Jews. Romans chapter 6, 3 through 5. Sin and death rules from Adam to Moses, and sin and death continue to rule after Moses. And you know how you get free from the power of sin in your life? Romans 6, 3. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Don't you know that? Are you not ignorant? King James says. That all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus, this is the third group, have been baptized into his death. We were allowed to become one with Jesus at his death. We were Gentiles. In ignorance. Just going along. And somehow, some way, the opportunity came to you and me to answer the call. And we might not know what this was when we were baptized. Most of us were baptized for forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus Christ, Acts 2:38, which will definitely work. If Jesus appeals to God on our behalf. We're the call of God. We're the reconciled. We have now the reconciliation. There's no problem between us and God unless we create it. Verse 4. Well, what does it mean to be baptized in the death of Jesus? Therefore, we've been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Why would you want to be baptized? Because you've got to get out of that sinning business. All those bad habits that dominate your life, you can't continue to let them rule and expect God not to kick you out again. Why would you want to be baptized? What if you're a really bad person? So you can walk in newness of life. A new world opens up where God dominates your being and your actions. The world of sin and death is the world without the life of God. Death means life's gone. Baptism means life comes back in the form of the Holy Spirit. That's the conclusion you're supposed to draw. The first word in verse 4, therefore. Verse 5, for if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, death, burial, and resurrection, baptism. If we become united with him there, we shall also shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. If you're one with the death of Jesus, you're one with it now. You have the resurrected life. The only thing keeping you from really seeing that is you're still in this body. You still have temptations. You still have... But guess what? You have the life of God at work. I think we have reason to exult. I think we have reasons to glory in God that we're no longer dead in our sins and trespasses. We're no longer ignorant. Boy, that's bad. To be ignorant and not know it. Wow. And how did all that change? God had a plan. Involved his son sacrificing for you and me so that he could legally and justifiably declare us righteous. Children of God, saints,
Do we have reason to praise God? Or do we need some artificial means to stir us up? If we need some artificial means to stir us up, heaven help our souls. And we sing the song, Revive Us Again. If that's what we're really singing, that's a bad, bad deal. Because we're dead.
We're not dead. We're alive to God. We're one with Christ Jesus. We're not part of the world out there, the Gentiles who don't care. We're not under the law where God's expecting us to be perfect. We have Jesus. Three groups of people. Where do you and I stand? With Jesus. You need to respond anyway once you come to stand.